Thank you, Fred. And thank you very much for your warm welcome. I appreciate that. 24 years ago this month, I had my jaw cut in half as a result of the sick time leading up to my diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. That meant that my salary was cut in half, my hours were cut in half, and so were my benefits. And even though my hours were cut in half, I was still asked to work 5 days a week from 8:30 till 12, and knowing that mornings were my worst time of day. This action followed 7 months of harassment and discrimination that I endured at the hands of my supervisor. She didn't believe that I could be blind in one eye and still drive myself back and forth to work each day. She actually passed a hand in front of my face one day, trying to test her theory that I could still see. At one point, she said, "We didn't even have a summer because of you." And that was because I had 6 weeks off because of the blindness. The initial reaction from my doctors was they thought I had a brain tumor. So they took me out of work while they did all of their magical tests. My employer, however, wasn't impressed that I had the summer off. Then there was my general manager, who personally called my neurologist at work the day after I shared my diagnosis at work. He was trying to strong-arm information about my prognosis over the phone. My neurologist was appalled, and he was so taken back that he called me directly when he hung up the phone that day and told me that he'd never, ever had someone so blatantly disregard the rights of a patient before. He warned me. He warned me to fight for the right to work. At that point, I'd been blind in my left eye for several months. I had continual burning sensation in both of my hands and my arms, and I was limping, dragging the 50-pound bag of flour that was now my leg. I responded to the demotion by filing a complaint with the Human Rights Commission, the federal or the Canadian Human Rights Commission specifically, because my organization was federally regulated. My supervisor responded by turning up the heat. The next thing that I knew, I was in my office one day with clients, and my supervisor came in and made a comment on my M-line, on how short my skirt was, in front of clients, yes. The next day, I dropped a pamphlet on her desk that said multiple sclerosis in the workplace. Within an hour, she was back in my office, practically throwing it at me and very, very defensively telling me that she didn't ever want to hear the words multiple sclerosis again. Months and months of harassment, crying myself to work and back daily, the stress was unimaginable. Here I was diagnosed with an incurable, progressive, disabling condition, and I was studying my group benefits book at home at night when I was supposed to be sleeping. Mercifully, 10 months after my diagnosis had begun, 3 months after my demotion, my employer terminated my employment and walked me out the door. After 3 years of exemplary performance, getting kudos from the VP of our parent company, I reviewed all of my ongoing small claims cases with my employer after she terminated me. Before she escorted me out, I guess I was in shock. I took the time to review my cases with her when that day came. That day, my tears on the way home were a wave of utter, explosive relief and a dash of fear for the first time about my health. Just as I cover in my book, After the Diagnosis, The Journey Beyond, I grieved for the loss of my job. And finally, I began to grieve for my health and for the life that I would never enjoy because of the MS. The human rights complaint was settled in my favor 2 years later. Woo! I was grateful it was over and I could finally put my previous employer in the rearview mirror. Or so I thought. Not unlike surviving any other traumatic experience, it took me a few years to get my confidence back. I felt as though I had been shamed for being sick. At one point, I was actually hiding in my car while my general manager walked down the street nearby. I stayed there. After having the human rights case settled, I wanted to walk up to him and shout, "See, I really am sick. And look what's happened to you because of your insensitivity and your ignorance." But I didn't. I stayed in the car where it was safe. But there was no way I was going to confront this bully and risk being shamed again. Brené Brown's, if anybody's heard of Brené Brown, awesome, awesome stuff. She has a couple of TED Talks on shame and vulnerability that were very, very healing for me. The journey back to confident me was long, hard, and filled with potholes. But what I learned along the way was that my experience with my employer, it didn't have to go down like that. They made a choice. Since my company had no HR manager for me to turn to, I was on my own facing the discrimination and harassment that soon began after my symptoms started, 10 months prior to my termination. So I went through 10 months of daily harassment and discrimination before they mercifully let me go. I had no choice but to disclose my diagnosis and all of the details, or my employer threatened to withhold my short-term disability benefits. That meant that my paychecks would be withheld unless I told all. The shaming was just, it was routine for them. No lawyer would take my case. This was back in the early 90s. I had no one to seek support from. There was no internet even back then. Imagine. I was feeling lost and very alone. These days, lawyers are now on TV advertising to advocate for people with disabilities. My, how much has changed. And that is so powerful. My response was to turn to the MS Society of Canada for support. I joined a support group and I started volunteering. Slowly, the shame started to dissolve. 14 years later, I had led the founding of the local chapter of the MS Society in my area, and I had trained hundreds of volunteers through building annual fundraising campaigns to expanding public awareness about MS and benefiting the local MS community. In 2002, I went back to school to become a certified life skills coach. It felt like something I'd been doing all my life, helping people in need with their problems, lending a compassionate, empathetic ear. What do you mean I can get paid for talking on the phone? Whole new career, it was awesome. In 2003, I hung up my shingle and launched Changing Paces, nurturing a culture of inclusion where everyone matters. Providing support to people with disabilities, struggling with work, life, or business challenges. Man, I'm loving what I do, and I'm doing what I love. The shame is almost gone. Then in 2004, I was honored by the MS Society of Canada when they nominated and awarded me both the top volunteer in Ontario and the top volunteer in Canada. The MS Society trained me in support counseling, in self-advocacy, social action, group facilitation, and organizational development. Talk about reaping benefits of volunteering. That was amazing. It's now been 20 plus years that I've been coaching people with disabilities on work, life, and business issues, and 10 years since I've been training and consulting organizations on how to better interact with clients, vendors, customers with disabilities. I'm now that person that I needed to find 24 years ago when I was feeling ashamed, lost, and alone. What if I could have found someone who would have coached me through the entire journey? What if I could find that someone who could have attended meetings with me as an advocate with my employer and I if necessary? What value would that have been in my life? Priceless. That's how valuable that would have been. And given the fact that this outcome ended my career as I knew it, that person could have helped me see options and make choices instead of allowing me to become the victim while my employer held all the cards. And what value would that person have brought to my employer? Helping me stay on the job would have saved the company tens of thousands of dollars on my settlement, for one. Another $10,000 or more for the cost of retraining somebody to the level of expertise and efficiency that I had brought to the job as a mid-level manager. And what about the fact that there's ill will felt by everyone at the firm after someone's leveled a lawsuit against the company? Opposite to that, as I talk about in my third book, In Our Shoes, Practical Strategies for Disability Inclusion. Finding a way to accommodate and effectively work with employees with disabilities actually breeds company loyalty among fellow staff members and the public. Employing people with disabilities not only raises that organization's social profile as an inclusive employer, it also leads to an increase in the bottom line because people like to shop where people with disabilities are employed. Now, what value or benefit could that person have been to my employer? I say again, priceless. Including and retaining people with disabilities in the workplace is a win-win-win. So who's winning at your place of business? Make sure it's your people and your company culture, and your profits will take care of themselves. And by the way, that person can definitely help. And that person is me, Trish Robichaud, Disability Inclusion Coach. If you want to know how to better support employees in the workplace, please see me at the break. In the meantime, my assistant Janice, raise your hand, Janice. She's here with my business card and my books if you're interested. Thank you for your time and your attention today.